Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, partnering with donors from all walks of life to improve Southeastern Virginia through grants, scholarships, and leadership initiatives. Learn more at HamptonRoadsCF.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Ham Lee. How many times have you said out loud or thought to yourself this week, "I'm so stressed out"? We've all done it, but have you really thought about what's happening to you mentally, physically, and emotionally? What are the everyday stresses of life, family, career, health, the economy, doing to your mind, body, and soul? And most importantly, what are you doing about it? How are you taking care of you? Some advice from wellness professional Bettina Lee when Another View returns right after this national, regional, and local news from NPR and WHRO News.
Discussing today's topics from an African-American perspective, this is Another View.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Another View. I'm Barbara Ham Lee. Before we get started with our conversation today, if you're looking for something to do this holiday weekend, let me tell you about a new musical called Dr. Smile. It is the true story of everyday heroes, and it's happening at the Z in Virginia Beach. And the book is by Clyde Santana, Valley Meeks, and Kira Sarah Helper. And this story is the true story of Dr. Valley Meeks, who fought alongside her HIV plus patients for care, dignity, and respect, establishing the first dental clinic in Maryland for people living with HIV AIDS. And so it's told through the voices of Dr. Valley, her patients, and the love that supported her. So it's a musical. It is happening now until May 30th, Thursday and Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Saturdays, there are two shows at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. You can find out more information at thez.org. So go on out and check it out. We've been having some really heavy shows here lately on Another View. The gutting of the Voting Rights Act, the overturning of the Virginia special election results by the Virginia Supreme Court, the rising costs of food and gas. It's just a crazy time. So today we've decided to do some self-love on Another View, something to help you take care of you. Please welcome to Another View National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach Bettina Lee, who also teaches yoga and is certified in mental health first aid, and she is the owner of Believable Prana Yoga and Wellness. Hi, Bettina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
With that soothing voice, that will take the stress out to begin with, right? So I want to start with a question. What is the difference between health and wellness?
Yes. So health really is how you are showing up in terms of your biological and physiological matters. Mm-hmm. So really making sure that you, we say a lot in the industry, know your numbers, your blood pressure, your cholesterol levels, making sure that they are within good, healthy levels, making sure you have a great relationship with your PCP so that way you can be healthy. Mm-hmm. Wellness is really how you're living. So I really look at the eight dimensions of wellness in terms of your social connections, your financial, you know, stress is a major cause and finances really go into that. Mm-hmm. Making sure your environment is pleasing, not only aesthetically pleasing, not only do you want to hug the trees, but do you have that junk drawer that you walk past all the time, you know? So making sure that multiple factors in your life are doing well.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about stress, then, you know, I mean, obviously you have the external things that are happening, but you also have your everyday living.
Yes.
What are some of the things that we need to really pay attention to? We know when we're getting stressed because we can feel it, but mm-hmm. are there other things that we need to really take into consideration as including like how often we find ourselves stressed?
Yes. Now, stress isn't bad. in itself.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything good about stress?
Yes. I always tell people, you know, my patients, like bamboo, you know, try to bend and not break. In order for an oak tree to grow, it needs the wind in order to blow it. However, when you just continue to pile things on over and over and again and don't have systems in place in order to be able to deal with them, then that's when stress becomes overwhelming. That's when people start to experience burnout.
And how does it manifest?
Oh, man. So stress really looks very different. People can have physiological, you know, issues such as headaches. It can affect your, like we always say, relax your jaw. You know, it can really affect you in terms of muscle tension. It can also affect your digestive issues, your blood pressure, leading to hypertension, poor sleep, heart palpitations, lots of different concerns. Also, increased inflammation in your body. It can really show up so differently. And people don't realize that, oh, it's stress. You know, stress is something that the body tends to know what's going on before our mind tends to know.
That's really interesting, because I was going to ask, could there be things happening mentally that maybe your body is not changing, but you have some issues going on mentally in terms of dealing with stress?
Absolutely. A lot of times when we do have that junk drawer, so to speak, it is a manifestation of what's going on inside of our minds. You know, that that drawer, that pile of clothes that needs to be folded. You may push it off. You may not necessarily get to it because it's something that you don't want to deal with right now.
And so all of that is percolating. That negative loop also, because I know women go through that a lot, of the whole idea of either thinking negatively about themselves or about a situation. How do you turn that off?
That little voice inside your head.
Yeah.
So we're with ourselves all the time. You know, we talk to ourselves more than we speak with anyone else. So I really tell patients, think about just three things, three negative things that you may have about yourself. Where do they come from? Okay, where do these three negative thoughts come from? And then how can you deal with these negative thoughts? Is it true? You know, is there anything that you can learn, that you can read, that you can start to try to change this narrative? Because it's really about a mindset shift as well.
You know, it's interesting because I was talking with someone one day and they were very, very frustrated and trying to figure things out. And they said to me, well, people always say, just move on, make the change. But how do you make the change if you don't know how to do that?
You know, I know it really is a matter of even acknowledging that something needs to change, you know, because there's different stages of change too. So if you're in a place in which you're not even acknowledging that there needs to be a change, then you're absolutely not ready. Usually when people need to get into a stage in which they're maybe trying things out, they may, let's use weight loss for an example. They may try to have some salads for lunch or something. They may go for a walk or something, but they need help, you know. So to stick with it, to have that accountability and to make sure that they are staying consistent. Consistency is something that is really crucial for people. So ask for help.
So as a wellness coach, what is your role? What do you do? And what does that mean for someone who may be looking for that type of help?
Absolutely. So I help with both health and wellness. If you don't have a PCP, ideally I do partner with PCPs to see, well, what is it that we
primary care physicians,
right. Thank you. To see what is the best, healthiest version of Barbara. Let's look at that vision. See who she is, what she's doing. Is she, you know, wearing a yellow dress and skipping down the boardwalk? You know, whatever it is. And then let's create goals in order to help Barbara get there. Does that mean we need to look at any preventative care for type 2 diabetes? Does that mean that we need to create systems to make sure that she has a healthy sleep hygiene so that way she's getting plenty of sleep and reducing her cortisol levels? Do we need to make sure that we're eating healthy? You know, putting down the snacks. You know, are we drinking enough water? You know, so really multiple facets that we look at in order to help the patient become the best version of themselves.
So it really depends on the actual participation then of the patient. It's not something where you can turn around and say, do this and everything will be okay.
Well, for general, yes. For general, yes, I can, especially mm-hmm. as it pertains to stress management, time management. But with my patients, it is very individualized.
Individualized, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the ways to reduce stress. I mean, first of all, there are different mm-hmm. stages of stress. Is that right? Like chronic versus if you're feeling like you're in danger right away, mm-hmm. that's one kind of stress. There's stress that happens all the time,
right?
Et cetera.
Right. So I mean, it depends.
Let's break those down.
Right on where you are okay. and what exactly you're dealing with. So if you are in a place in which you have a assignment due at work. Okay. And are you able to delegate time and or resources in order to be able to manage that? Mm-hmm. Now, when you get into a place in which you have the assignment at work, and then you also have the children that you're dealing with, and then you also have something else that you're dealing with, you have the parents that you're dealing with. All of that tends to pile on. And then once you're in a state of dealing with all these different stressors for a long period of time, mm-hmm. then it turns into chronic stress.
And is chronic stress the one that's more likely to lead you to more physical problems if you don't deal with it?
Absolutely. Yes. It can mm-hmm. cause the tightening of the arteries. It can cause a shortening of the breath. So making sure that we put systems in place to not even get to that point. And if you're at that point, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you put systems in place to try to get out of that point or try to relieve as much as possible. And I'm not talking about just a woosah self-care day. You know, you're getting your nails done, you're going on vacation, because vacation can look different for so many people. Are you the type of person that goes on vacation but brings the phone, brings the laptop? Are you the person that, you know, on vacation, you have every single minute planned out? Or are you allowing yourself to rest, recover, and relax?
You know, that's a really interesting point, because I think especially busy people mm-hmm. really understand how to rest.
Yes.
How do you rest?
Yes. And even the people who, as I was speaking with, Miss Deborah earlier, in reception.
Just yes, Deborah's been here for over 40 years. She's the yes. greeter she is the face of WHRO Public Media. She is.
Yes. But just basically, and as women and as Black women tend to be the strong ones all the time. So what does that look like to rest? What does that look like to set something down? What does that look like to say no? What does that look like to put yourself first?
Mm. Mm-hmm. So how do you convince that strong Black woman that this is absolutely necessary for her to do?
So it really takes
I'm listening for myself.
It really takes a person to have their own sort of awakening, to have their sort of own aha moment. Mm-hmm. In health and wellness, we want the best for our patients, but you know, you can't lead a horse to water, so to speak. I can't want you to be healthier than you want to be. So when you're ready, let's go ahead and do the work. So it really mm-hmm. takes a matter of to awaken, to really understand, notice the patterns. What are the beliefs that little voice inside of your head? What are the beliefs that you hold about yourself? Mm. Okay. And then also acknowledging, have you burned out or are you approaching burnout? What does this look like for you?
Mm.
And then next, we want you to align. So what does that mean in terms of aligning, really reconnecting? I'm a yoga teacher as well, so I definitely want people to reconnect with that mind-body,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No.
Sometimes we have that, when I was in college or when I used to look like this, I used to do that. Well, okay, that's great. That was then. How do you look? How do you feel now? What are you able to do now? Mm-hmm. So having that mind-body connection and then understanding your own personal truth.
Wow. So this is a lot of self-work that needs to happen.
It does. It does. Yes.
757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers to call to join our conversation. Are you stressed? And if you are, what do you do to try to eliminate or relieve some of that stress? Let's hear some of the ways that you are able to cope and make change. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. How did you get in this space?
You know, I grew up in the health and wellness field. My mom was a health educator, as well as my stepfather was as well. And it really was a matter of watching my mom work and do all the things. Now, being a health educator, you would think that she took care of herself. You know, she did to a certain point. Mm-hmm. She suffered with lupus. Well, she thrived through lupus, yeah. So to speak. Yeah. But her last year, she was in the education field. She was an administrator for Creative and Performing Arts Middle School, mm-hmm. and had to sit down her last year.
Wow.
Right. Mm. So her health and wellness, her health really took a turn, but she had so much time off that she just could take off her last year, yeah. and then had time left over. And it's like, that's not healthy. That's yeah. not good to really work yourself.
Because she
that
had worked
hard.
So hard that she never took the time off.
Never took the time off.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So really just wanting to help my mother, wanting to, you know, see how I can help others, because I'm like, she's not the only one doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when women especially take on all these extra things, do all of these things, mm-hmm. they don't tend to say no.
Correct.
Why do we not say no? And how do we learn to say no?
Yes. So boundaries are a health intervention.
Yes.
Learning to say no. And no is a complete sentence, but we almost have been conditioned in a sense to...
That we got to explain.
We have to explain. Yeah. We have to pacify. We have to make others happy. You know, just kind of smile. So really saying no, and then stop putting all of the things on your plate. Stop overcommitting. You don't have to, you know, watch someone's kids, pick someone up, make the pound cake for, you know, the church fish fry, and do all, you know, all of the things. Be on X amount of boards. Join ABC organizations.
You've been talking to my husband. Because when I can hear him now saying, see, you heard what she said about all those boards you serve on.
Right. I mean, but that's something that we tend to do. And we also don't protect our own emotional energy.
Mm.
You know, really acknowledging how we want to show up in the world and how we allow others to show up in our world.
So when you say no is a complete sentence, some people may feel that if they're saying no, then they are inconveniencing someone else. I know you're talking about setting boundaries, but how do you get to a place in your own head that this no is not about them, it's about protecting yourself?
It's really a matter of putting yourself first. And that's something that we don't necessarily do. We tend to often wait until we completely break down, until we don't have anything else. One thing in yoga we say to, you can't pour from an empty cup. You know, you mm-hmm. should be able mm-hmm. to fill yourself up, pour back into yourself so much that way you're giving from an overflow. So by saying no, you're pouring into yourself. You're able to give yourself the resources. And sometimes if you say no and then allocate that to someone else, let them help. Just the same feel good, you know, feelings that you have by helping others, you mm-hmm. give someone else that ability.
How much of this has to do also with people pleasing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely people pleasing. You know, you're worried about rescuing everyone.
Yeah.
But then how do you rescue yeah. yourself?
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing, because we put so much emphasis on others, mm-hmm. but as opposed to emphasizing ourselves, some people say that's selfish. Is it selfish to do self-love?
No, not at all. Not at all. You have to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, it's like, well, you know, who will? But then if you don't put on, I mean, even in the airplane, they say, put your own oxygen mask on first. If you don't put your own oxygen mask on, who's going to put it on for you?
757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. John joins us from Virginia Beach. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning, Barbara, or good afternoon. Another great show.
Thank you.
The question about stress always comes up, especially with those of us who are veterans. And there are degrees of PTSD that, you know, talk about things like self-worth, and they also talk about how you relate to other individuals who may or may not have had the same experience. But what I'm interested in is another form of PTSD that I read about recently, In fact, it was in a biography of Tim O'Brien, a noted Vietnam veteran author. Mm-hmm. And he talked about moral injury. And he talked about those people who have suffered moral injury because they were exposed to leadership that made decisions without a moral basis, or they made decisions that violated your own moral principles. I mean, we've talked a little bit about legal and illegal orders in the military, when you should or shouldn't follow them. Mm-hmm. But the other issue is with those of us as voters who don't agree with the actions of the government, especially the government that is now in power, and that many of the actions really do violate our own moral principles and thus create a position of stress. And I don't hear it talked about a lot. So if you have any comments on that, and it also goes to what you said about self-worth, because it makes it seem like your values are not valued by anyone else, or that your values are so out of the norm that, you know, you're quote-unquote left-leaning, progressive, et cetera, all the derogatory references, to just trying to be kind and compassionate and show some character toward other people. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. But I'd like to hear some kind of commentary and also a suggestion. How do you deal with it?
Okay. Thank you so much, John, for the call. We appreciate that. I mean, he unpacked a lot, but I think in today's climate, people are really looking for ways to balance how they perceive the world with other things that are happening, and how do you deal with that kind of stress?
It is very frustrating to have an opinion, to have a voice, and it not be heard, or for it to be shut down. Mm-hmm. So in a matter of a political climate, I would really just suggest to, that's when you have to really become even more active. You know, align yourself with other organizations or other folks who have the same, you know, viewpoint as mm-hmm. you. As far as this moral injury and PTSD, if there's anything that you could do with, you know, the VA hospital, see what programs or what offerings they have. And if they don't have it, advocate for it. And see if you can get others to advocate for that as well, because you deserve the service and the support. But as far as, yes, a political climate, definitely seeing if you can speak with others and meet with others and who have the same viewpoint as you.
Okay, let's talk to Dominic in Norfolk. Hi, Dominic, you're on the air.
Hi, Barbara. I just wanted to make a comment on something that Ms. Lee said that really stood out to me. So, you know, I work on the front line as a healthcare worker, and I've worked in some pretty intense environments where you're more or less expected to kind of take on everything for your patients and your caregivers and your employer. And this idea of saying no and how you're saying it politely. Me personally, I've struggled with anxiety, and it's just something that, like from my core, it's always conflicted with my values at work. And something that's really helped me and might help others who are listening to the idea that you should say no more. To say no is not just, it's not being disrespectful. I agree. Mm-hmm. When you're saying no, you're saying yes. Mm-hmm. You're saying yes to the other parts of your life that are important, whether or not it's, you know, fixing your relationship with your loved ones, finding a hobby or passion that you love, or just focusing on your health, your physical, your mental well-being. So maybe that might be helpful. It's not just saying no. You're also saying yes.
Saying yes to yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Dominic, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate you.
Yes, and thank you so much for being in the healthcare field. You
yes.
are definitely a hero. And understanding that sometimes at work, it's like you almost can't say no. But really, I think, like you said, getting into your core values, if your job or if your organization is asking you to do something that doesn't speak to your personal truth, that doesn't speak to your values, then really sit with that and see, is this, now I'm not saying, you know your finances, I'm not saying to quit, but you know what is important to you, because how is that going to sit with you?
And those are tough decisions that people have to make sometimes.
Right.
Excuse me. Now, you work with corporations and with government agencies and so forth in terms of wellness for employees.
Yes.
What are some of the major issues that those employees bring to you that they need help with?
Sleep.
Sleep.
A lot of people, you know, they say to get your 78 hours of sleep, but who does that? Not very many people do get sleep, and that really leads into a lot of different areas, because it leads into weight gain, into time management. Really, time management is something that I deal with a lot with mm-hmm. employees.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you tell them about sleep?
Get your sleep. Stop, you know, doom scrolling. A lot of people with social media, I think especially from COVID, we were so used to scrolling on social media and lost
our connection.
We mm-hmm. lost our sense of time. And then, you know, Netflix and chill. Turn the TV off. The TV has that blue light that will trick your mind into thinking that it's supposed to be awake. Do not fall asleep with the TV on. Make sure you put your phone not next to your bed, away from you, so that way you're not tempted to just roll over and check the time. Oh, let me check an email really quick. Let me respond to this, because sometimes we have issues with leaving work at work.
757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers to call to join our conversation. What help do you need with managing the stress in your life? Give us a call and perhaps Bettina can give you some suggestions. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. And if you are just joining us, we're talking about self-care with National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach Bettina Lee, no relation by the way, who also teaches yoga and is certified in mental health first aid. What is mental health first aid?
Oh, yes, mental health first aid. It really is a training that helps everyday people to be able to recognize and assist with anyone out in the public or even at work that may be suffering from any mental health issues or a mental health crisis.
Oh.
So really to be an advocate. I know the City of Newport News has done some training, but a lot of times the police department is the first, you know.
First person, right?
You call 911 and they aren't always trained in mental health de-escalation or mental, you know, don't have that mm-hmm. mental health first aid training. Some localities have done really good with that. So we're just here to assist.
So how do you find a mental health, a person with, that can do mental health first aid, as opposed, if you don't call the police, in other words, how do you find you,
you know,
if you need help? Is that?
That's a really good question. We're not always the easiest to find. I would really look at your.
So you usually associate it with a police department or with the Department of Social Services or something like that?
Social Services, yes. I was going to say I would really reach out to your social services department within your locality to see what services they have. And how you can partner with them.
Because I think a lot of people get, if they get to that point, they're in crisis mode at the point where they're trying to help someone else who's experiencing a mental health issue or whatever, and they don't know where to go. So the 911 is the first instinct.
Right. And the Community Services Board, Hampton Newport News Community Services Board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's community services board in every area within the Commonwealth of Virginia. So so that's a good place to go. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Let's talk to Timothy in Chesapeake. Hi, Timothy. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have an elderly brother who is a veteran. He has dementia. Family members are only able to go over to help him once or twice a week. He's a veteran. Should I contact the VA and should I contact Adult Protective Services? I feel really guilty about doing that, but he wouldn't like me doing that, but you know, it's kind of hard right now dealing with his situation.
I am really sorry, Timothy, to hear that. Let's see if Bettina has some suggestions, and we wish you and your family the best.
Yes, absolutely. So is he in a place in which he is harming himself or others? Is that why you're considering calling Adult Protective Services?
Well, he's just not able to take care of himself, like medications. He might hurt himself only if he falls in the apartment because he lives alone.
Because he's living by himself.
Right.
Okay.
So definitely, if you can, call the VA to see what services they offer. And if his primary care physician is through the VA, definitely have that conversation. you may need to have a conversation with your brother, because HIPAA, the PCP may not necessarily speak to you directly. But yes, if you can reach out to the VA, see if you can contact Adult Protective Services to see what services they offer before you just send them, you know, to his house. But yes, and whatever caregiver, because depending on his insurance, whatever caregiver services that accept his insurance and that are available in your area.
I hope that helps you, Timothy. You know, but that what he brings up is a really good point, because that is another stressor, especially for people who find themselves having to take care of elderly mm-hmm. people or younger people in their family, because they become then the caregiver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being in that sandwich generation of caring. Yeah. If you do have children that you are caring for, or younger, you know, relatives that you are caring for, and then also caring for either an older, you know, parent mm-hmm. or another relative. Yes, that mm-hmm. is definitely a major cause of stress.
And what advice do you give them then to the caregiver? Because, you know, they're the ones who always have to be there. You know, he was saying people stop by once or twice a week, but a lot of people are caregivers 24/7.
Yes, yes. So having been a caregiver, it is very, understand it's very difficult. You do have to try to carve out some time for yourself and for your own mental health, because it can be so easy to throw everything, all of your resources, all of your time, your energy into the person that you're caring for. So seeing if you can, as best as you can, try to get help.
Yeah.
You know, so are there other family members? Are there other services that can help you sit with your family member for an hour or two while you take a nap, while you go to the gym, while you're able to cook, or you're able to do the laundry?
Why yoga?
You know, yoga, I was living in New York City, attended a gym, and I grew up dancing, and I ran track in college. So I was like, oh, I'm fit and I'm flexible. Let's try this little yoga class. And a few days later, I was like, why is this odd muscle hurting me? What in the world? So I was like, was it that little yoga class? And then just later had another teacher who was just introduced me to the spiritual aspect and the lifestyle of it, in terms of how you show up in the world, how you live your life, the self-disciplines of it. It's not religious at all. No, a lot of people think that yoga has religion.
So can you expound on that a little bit? What is the yoga lifestyle?
Yes, it's really about how you treat yourself, how you treat others. Okay, so yoga, thousands of years ago, was really founded to be able to sit and meditate and pray, whatever it is, but the physical aspect of it. And it's just like, okay, those are the asanas, the movements. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, what are the different ways in which we can live, and how we're eating, how we're treating others, how we're treating ourselves? So it's really 8 different limbs of yoga.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, and what does yoga do for you?
Oh, yoga for me really helps me to calm down and to slow down and really get that mind-body connection, because I am one of the people who throws everything on my plate and will tend to juggle all of the balls and all of, you know, all of the things. And it really allows me to sit and slow down, really pay attention to my breathing, my breath control, and my breath expansion. Allows me to calm my mind, center myself, and see, okay, what's really important right here and right now, Bettina.
Does it help you, Bettina, then when if something sudden happens that, you know, becomes a major stressor, or you find yourself maybe overreacting to a situation, you know, when you kind of go, why am I so worked up about this and so forth? I mean, are there techniques that you can use to just say, okay, let me calm myself right now, because I'm in this situation, I've got to do something about it, but yes, I've also got to get my head together.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, lives. So sometimes I will just find myself wanting to go blah, you know, wanting to react. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, slow down. What is true right here, right now? Mm-hmm. What really matters.
So for the person who's always putting stuff on their plate, do you need to put your yoga class or your meditation or whatever on your calendar too?
You know, sometimes,
how do you get that?
Yes, yeah. Sometimes you will need to schedule that self-care. Sometimes you will need to schedule that time for yourself to be able to woosaw. You know, I'll tell patients, you know, if you listen to NPR, you know, and sometimes you just want to hear the rest of the story, those 5 minutes. Allow yourself those 5 minutes sitting in your car, and it's okay.
So, and that's a really good point, though, because it doesn't have to be like this major thing,
right?
You know, that's going to take hours, but there are small things that you can do to alleviate stress.
Absolutely. There are small things that you can do, and there are small ways in which you can have wins too, because sometimes we feel as if you're a high functioning, you know, A-type personality, always on the go, you may want to check off every single box. And when you don't check off the box, you feel defeated. So what are some ways in which you can find those 5 minutes? What are those some ways in which you can multitask, in a sense? If you're taking a meeting, if you're on the radio show, can you stand? You know, because sitting is the new smoking, in a sense. Mm-hmm. So trying to find multiple ways and be able to allow yourself to thrive.
It's interesting because I am a list maker for, you know, for things to get accomplished. Now, I look at it as if the majority of the things on my list are checked out off, that's an accomplishment.
Right.
And usually if it's something left over, it's either because I'm still waiting for information, or is it that chore I just really don't want to do.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But do we spend enough time telling ourselves that we're okay?
I don't think so. I don't think we do. I don't think we give ourselves enough pats on the back, mm-hmm. especially depending on which, you know, generation you're kind of coming from. This, I don't know all the different generations, but I know a newer generation, they're living a soft life and they're indulging more. Whereas, you know, I'm a 70s baby. Don't do that.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We don't. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Gary joins us from Norfolk. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hey, Barbara. You know me, 360. But I'm also kind of reference to the guy before on the dementia. It's called conservatorship in Virginia. If he's gotten to the point where he can't assign himself a POA, he may need to go to the court, and the family may need to take him to court and get a conservator assigned to him. They become responsible for his care and all that. I'm actually a conservator to 4 other people. So
wow.
It's a challenge for the individual, but you then become, quote unquote, the adult in the room so that you can make that decision and everywhere has to abide by it.
So, Gary, since you're the conservator for 4 different people, how do you deal with your own stress? Because I can't imagine. That has got to be a lot.
I happen to be a retired psych, but in through the nose, out through the mouth, as you said, yoga, the breathing exercise. Now, I also have a device, Calmigo. It looks like an inhaler. So people are like, oh, leave him alone. He's on that. It is basically in through the nose, out through the mouth. Do that for 5 minutes, you'd be surprised how quickly you calm down.
Oh, wow. Okay, thanks, Gary, for the call. We appreciate you and for that information. Hopefully our other caller will hear them. Is there a breathing exercise you can do right now that you can teach us?
Absolutely. So if everyone could, if you're sitting, go ahead and sit nice and tall. Lengthen your spine. If you're standing, just lengthen your spine. Feel as though I'm lifting you up by string through the crown of your head. Just continue to breathe how you normally breathe. And then I'm going to take you through a guided breathing exercise. We're going to inhale for 4 counts, hold for 2, and then exhale for 4. So everyone, let's exhale to begin. Inhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 1, 2, 3. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Good. You see, listening to you say that, it works. When I tried that on my own, sometimes I find myself breathing even faster as opposed to really calming.
Yes.
And so does music help? Does quiet help? I mean, what... if your mind is constantly going, what environment, I guess, should you put yourself in so that that simple breathing exercise right. can calm you?
So, you know, it really depends on the person. If you are okay. a high, like a highly busy person, in Ayurveda, we call it a pitta, you know, kind of type, I would say to slow down. Try to find music that's slow, calming, or even silence. For some people sitting in silence, their mind is still going a thousand miles a minute. If you're a person who is naturally just slow and calm, and I would say to maybe have something a little bit more upbeat, a little, not fast, but if you want to listen to music, then a little bit more upbeat.
A little bit. I'm gonna say that. We got a call, Facebook question from Kevin in Norfolk, who wants to know, how do you get to the point of letting go when you know you probably should, but you can't? Can you share some tips?
Yes. So I would say do not wait until you are at your finite point, until you're at the end of your string. Let go. You may be a little uncertain about it. You may feel a little guilty about it, but think about the positivity of it. What were going to be the benefits of the outcome of you letting go?
Wow. And also one from Liz in Chesapeake. Could Bettina please address the importance of play on your mental health?
Oh, yes, yes. I always encourage patients to have a dance party. Have a dance party in your house.
All by yourself.
All by yourself with your loved ones, you know, whatever it is. Throw on, if you're driving, especially some of us have those long commutes. Mm-hmm. Throw on, you know, some great music and just belt, sing out loud. Who cares what the person in the next car next, you know, in the car next to you is thinking or seeing, you know, they want to have a good time as well. So yes, it's very important to play. I know there is a facility called the Destruction Room in Virginia Beach. Sometimes you may need to beat something up.
So just let that stress go.
Just let that stress go. Whether that is getting involved in a kickboxing class, whether that is, you know, beating up the dirt in your garden, you know, making sure that you're tilling. For me, I love plants and making sure that I'm talking to my plants. I love the way the dirt feels. Sometimes even just walking, earthing, they call it, walking barefoot in your backyard or front yard. So having fun is extremely important.
And knowing what is fun for you.
Exactly. And if you don't know what is fun, just try some new things. There's so many things to do in the Hampton Roads area and then just across, you know, the Commonwealth. Maybe a day trip.
You know, it's and it doesn't have to, it can be physical, but it doesn't necessarily have to be athletic. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I have a phobia about of being an athlete, because yes. I am not. Okay. So... But just fine. But I do enjoy, you know, being in pleasant spaces. I like museums. I like to do things like that sort of those things. So anything that is calming to the mind.
Yes.
That's the key. You talked a little bit earlier about inflammation being one of the symptoms right. of stress. How does that manifest and how do you get rid of it?
Well, I mean, it can... manifest in terms of your diet. If you're eating a lot of comfort foods, in terms of the foods that are highly processed, high in sodium, that will definitely bring about some inflammation. Depending, I'm not a dietitian, but depending on what works well for your body in terms of diet, but then also lack of sleep. If you're someone who's on your feet all the time, if you're someone who's sitting all the time, I know that those two extremes can really take a toll on your body. So what are you doing in order to recover? You know, are you in a yoga pose, legs up against the wall, Are you putting yourself into positions in which you're allowing your body to drain? Are you constantly on the go or just, you know, like a Spanish, we say oso perezoso, like a sloth, and not moving a lot. Is that something that you need to do? Because the body needs to continuously move. You know, you need to have some sort of action. If we don't move, then we're going to turn into stone.
So if we decide to try yoga, for example, is there advice you can give on how to get started? You know, how do you figure out the poses? How do you have to go to certain classes? How does all of that work?
You, first of all, you do not have to be flexible. A lot of people think, oh, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible. You don't have to be flexible.
Because I have to tell you, honestly, I looked at a yoga site one day and it was just the pictures of the various poses. And I was like, there is no way.
Right. So I would say, you know, for my company, we come to you and we meet you where you are. We don't do the Instagram, the perfect yoga pose. There is none. What works well with your body? If you can't touch your toes, then that's fine. Can you touch your thighs? Can you touch your knees? Can you hold on to the back of a chair and do a forward fold that way? There are different YouTube videos that you can watch, my site being one of them. But, you know, making sure that you find, if you do want to go into a studio, find a studio that is inclusive, that understands different modalities and different body types, different body shapes, and that you feel comfortable.
That was going to be my other question, because you usually see a lot of very thin people who are doing yoga and so forth. But you're saying inclusive in terms of all body types.
Right. And that know how to put you into different positions, because there are different, you know, there is no the perfect yoga pose. So do you need, you know, a modification so that way you're not doing the Instagram one, but you're doing what works well for your body. You know, yoga isn't supposed to hurt. So now, not like I'm ripping myself apart, but if you haven't touched those toes in a long time and you're working your way to touch those toes, you may feel a little pain behind your knees and in your calves a little bit, but yes.
How often should you go or do this?
As often as works best for you. Okay, because I'm not going to say, oh, go every day, because I may not necessarily, you know, here comes the wellness coach in me. You are the expert of your life at the end of the day. You know what you have going on. You know your responsibilities, your finances, your time management. If you can't go every single day, then that's fine. If there's something that, again, those 5 minutes, if there's something, a little stretch that you can do, sit as soon as you get up on the side of your bed, reaching overhead, taking a big inhale, exhaling, twisting to the right. Reach those arms overhead, exhale, twist to the left. If that's all you can do, then that's all you can do. But adding a little movement in while you're brushing your teeth, is there anything that you can do? Can you lift your leg up?
So work it into your normal.
Work it into your normal.
Into your normal routine.
Especially if you don't have a half an hour, if you don't have an hour to allocate.
Lisa Godley, our show producer, was at a recent event that you did where you were helping women to believe in themselves and to work through some of this. And she just sent me a note to say, please have you shared the 3 steps that you shared with the group?
Yes, yes. So the awaken, align, and to activate. So really wanting to make sure that you have that acknowledgement of what's going on with your body and with your life. So like I said, awaken, notice the patterns, the beliefs, and the burnout, whether or not you are experiencing or approaching burnout. Making sure you're aligned so you reconnect with your mind and body, reconnect to your personal truth, reconnect to what is important to you. So if you are a person in which you used to have the dance parties, but you don't do it anymore, you used to go to the museums, but you don't do them anymore, because going to a museum, yes, that is self-care, especially if it brings you joy, if you're able to find peace. And then lastly, to activate, take the action. You have to do the things. We can't just talk about them. We can't put them on a vision board. Can't just put them in our journal at night. We actually have to take action.
Go do it. Should you work? Should you trust or talk with someone you trust in order to help you with that first part of really understanding where your head is? Because sometimes we're in denial.
Yes. Yes. I would say.
And say maybe your friend may see something that you may not, or you don't want to see.
Yes.
You probably see it, but you don't want to acknowledge it.
Absolutely. Speak with someone who you trust and who will give you their honest opinion. Mm-hmm. Not someone who's just going to agree with you, but then also not someone who's going to shoot you down. Because sometimes you can go to someone in confidence and say, you know, I'm experiencing stress. I'm a bit overwhelmed. I'm dealing with XYZ. Oh, you're fine. Just take a nap, or just pray, or just meditate. It's more than that.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
They say that saying of always check on your friends, your strong friends.
Yes.
Because they're the ones who may need the help more so than anyone else. Is that advice that you give?
Absolutely. Because it's, and especially as women, we tend to hold all of the responsibility for a lot of different things. Not that men don't, so please don't. Men who are listening.
Please don't yell at me, mister.
I don't. But many times women are praised for being strong, but rarely given the permission to be supported. So making sure that you do check on others, mm-hmm. And then check on yourself.
So as a wellness coach and as being so immersed in this field, what are the major things that you see are of concern that people really aren't paying attention to in this space?
I would really say putting themselves first. For a lot of patients of mine who are moms, and I ask them, so what do you do for your own self-care? What do you do for yourself? What does that look like? And they'll pause, and I have a box of tissues on my desk, and a lot of times they'll start crying because they have that acknowledgement, I don't do anything for myself. I used to be this amazing, fun, bubbly person, but now I'm so worried about taking care of everyone else. Mm-hmm. So, in like you mentioned earlier, it's not selfish to put yourself first. It's not a bad, at least it's not a bad selfishness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think we have time for maybe one more breathing exercise. Do you have one?
Sure. So... doing another breathing exercise, if you have a tissue.
Okay, there you go.
Give you a tissue. Uh-huh. So I want you to breathe in we're going to breathe in through our nose, and then we're going to breathe out through our nose, but we're going to have forceful breaths out of our nose.
Okay. All right.
So you're going to breathe in with a deep inhale. I'll guide you through it. And then short puffs of air coming out of your nose.
Okay.
So let's sit up nice and tall. Or stand. If you're standing, stand up nice and tall. Lengthen your spine. Let's exhale to begin. Inhale nice and deep. And then exhale short breaths. All out.
Oh wow, that is really peaceful.
It is peaceful, but it also helps to energize you as well. And while you get towards the end of the breaths, you really find yourself pushing out the old stale air. So yes,
Bettina, you are such a pleasure to talk with.
Thank you so very much.
We really appreciate that. And audience, the Memorial Day weekend is dubbed the unofficial start to summer. So take some time this weekend for your self-care. The advice shared by Bettina Lee today and all of our Another View broadcasts are available at whro.org or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Next week on Another View, it's Another View on Health with cardiologist Dr. Keith Newby. We're going to be talking about Black folks and clinical trials. Our theme music is an original composition created especially for Another View by Jay Sennett. Lisa Godley is our show producer. Jordan Christie is our audio engineer. And Dr. Barry Graham answered our phones. I'm Barbara Ham Lee. Have a wonderful holiday weekend, everyone. And let's get together again next Thursday at noon for Another View.
Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, carrying out your charitable wishes forever. Whether it's helping shelter animals,
feeding the homeless, enhancing the arts, or supporting students. Learn more at leaveabequest.org.